Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. I'm Hamza filling in for Kasim today. And our guest today is Donnie. So Donnie, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, for sure, man. So I'm in Azle, Texas, just outside of Fort Worth. I run three companies, have one of the top podcasts in the world, five best-selling books, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Awesome. So how did you get started being an entrepreneur?
I spent my entire career as a sales guy, and I didn't even know you could be an entrepreneur or run a business until I turned 40 years old. And I realized that I'd spent my entire life making everybody else wealthy. And I had just started hearing all these ideas that you could be your own business owner, you could be an entrepreneur. So in 2017, I decided to make the leap to give it a go. And I was instantly put under an international non-compete, and I couldn't talk about sales training anywhere in the world. And it's the only thing I knew. So as I started building out the company, 6 months in, my wife's car got repossessed. We almost lost our farm. My wife and I both had to cash in our 401ks to get her Jeep back and save the farm, because I had no idea how to be a business owner. I had no idea what it took to be a business owner, and I was clueless when it came to running a company. Luckily, I found podcasting, and podcasting taught me a lot about business. I got the privilege of interviewing some of the biggest names in the world, and I couldn't have a shit show of a process having those people come on the interviews. So I learned to outsource operations, bringing on team members, and process and systems, and that's what allowed us to really save the company and ramp everything up.
Awesome. So who were some of the most influential people that you interviewed that helped you in those early days?
So Neil Patel, Shailene Johnson, Mike Michalowicz, Ed Milet, freaking just some of the names you guys know. I had the privilege of sitting across from, and you know, it came from the show, and this was, we don't produce this show anymore, but the show just took off. And because I was sitting across from these guys trying to figure out how they found success, and other people were wanting to hear the same journeys. And so it was a wild when their team started reaching out to be on the show. I'm like, really? Who? It was just one of those moments. But because of that, we got to do an experience and get in some really cool conversations.
Awesome. So as of right now, what does a typical day look like for you?
So I run a full working farm in addition to the three companies. So I'm up at 3:50 every morning, take my German Shepherds out. We go for a 45-minute walk. That's my just way of collectively getting set for the day. I'm not the miracle morning guy. I think do whatever the hell you want to do for your morning routines. This is just what I do. I come in from the walk, and then I sit down and I start cranking on social media. So I'm very active on LinkedIn, very active on TikTok, and do a ton of stuff there, engaging, commenting, posting, and the likes. Then I'll go wake up the farm. So it'll take me about an hour and a half, 90 minutes to wake up the farm. Then I'll come in by 8 o'clock. I'm usually sitting here at my desk, and then I am cranking here till 4 o'clock in the afternoon, back-to-back Zoom meetings, introductory calls, sales calls, and the likes. I do that 5 days a week. Every Thursday, I shut all the companies down at noon, and we take what's called a farm day. And my wife and I go work on the farm, except during these stupid Texas summers right now, there's not a whole lot of outside work happening, but, we do that. And then I don't work very much on the weekends. I decided I was going to build a business around the lifestyle I wanted to live. And so when we work, we freaking work. When we play, we play. But I'm always 24/7 business, just because once you run a business, you're never going to turn off that mindset. You're always going to be thinking about business nonstop, and you shouldn't beat yourself up because you're doing it. People are always like, work-life balance. Only people who want work-life balance are people who freaking hate what they do, right? So if you love what you do, you're going to always be on it. Just don't get mad at yourself when you're at your nephew's football game or something, and you're thinking about how do I get that next deal done, right? Just come back to watching a game. Don't beat yourself up for that kind of stuff.
So how do you manage your time? I mean, even like, you know, running a farm, like I'm sure that's like exhausting work. That's like, you know, manual labor. Like, do you have people helping you besides like your family?
On the farm? No, it's just me and my wife. We handle and manage all of that. In the business, you damn right. I got a huge team of people that are doing different things. The team's main priority and job is to get it off my plate. Because if it's on my plate, we can't scale the business. So my primary role in the company is to be the face of the company out front, and to get as much awareness about our brands as we possibly can. So I do a lot of interviews, do a lot of stages, and the likes to keep our name and brand out there. So, but during the day, man, look, a company's only as strong as the team that's a part of it. So I typically will hire people who are an amazing culture fit and help turn them into absolute rock stars that fit within our culture. And in doing that, it really allows us to do things we didn't even know was possible because we bring in talent of people who have experienced and done cool things in the past, and they get to apply that knowledge to our company.
What's the definition of success for you?
So you originally said freedom, and after tasting a lot of freedom, I realize I'm unemployable. There's no way in hell I'd ever be able to go work for somebody ever again. So success for me really is about experience. You know, they say money doesn't buy you happiness, and that was said by a bunch of broke ass people. Money can buy you experience. Experience buys you happiness. So for me, it's the ability to go find and do other experiences. Like if there's a festival you want to go to, if there's a restaurant you want to go try, if there's a place you want to see, the ability to go experience things is everything for me. For me, life is not about the things you do and accomplish. It's about the stories you can tell and teach later. Right? Everything is an experience. So if you have things that you're experiencing and doing, and you can tell the story and it inspires somebody else to do it, or it teaches somebody else how to do something they didn't think they could, that's everything. And that's how the whole world should revolve.
So how living near a place like Fort Worth helps the business?
So interestingly is before launching my companies, man, I networked all through Fort Worth, and Fort Worth was just my stomping ground. You know, I sat on several private boards, nonprofit boards, a part of several associations, ran several networking groups and the likes through here. I mean, I felt like I knew everybody in town, and really enjoyed that role. When I launched my company, the company went international so fast, Fort Worth was not on my radar. So I wanted to come back to Fort Worth and do things. So it's like, we have the Badass Business Summit coming up September 20th to 23rd, right in, you know, the medical district of Fort Worth, where we were bringing our roots back here. So for the last 4 years now, we've done the Badass Business Summit in Fort Worth to bring people here. So I fly in speakers from all over the world to come here to talk to the entrepreneurs, the small business owners and the likes, so they can experience it. And it's funny as hell because inevitably one night during the summit, they'll all go down to the stockyards, and everybody's like, I can't believe you have an old West town, you know, in the middle of the city. And then we'll take them through the Magnolia area, Fort Worth South. We'll take them, you know, to some of the other hotspots throughout Fort Worth. And we're really bringing a lot of people in to be able to experience this cool city, because traveling all over, you know, there's no city like Fort Worth. It's like the Mayberry of big cities.
100%. And I feel like, so like I used to live in Fort Worth. I got some properties here. I got up in Dallas now, but it's like, I love Fort Worth. It's one of the most underrated cities. And I feel like people ask me, like, what do you do in Dallas? I'm like, no, I think of DFW. Like Fort Worth is where you do like the touristy stuff. Like that's the more fun stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I literally, if anybody asks me where I'm from, I say Fort Worth. And they're like, where's that? And I'm like, next to Dallas, right? And like, oh, I know Dallas, you know, and that's all over the world. But I try and put Fort Worth out there as much as possible. Fort Worth's starting to come a little bit like Dallas. I hope that doesn't happen, but we'll see how it turns up in the next couple of years.
Awesome. So what is the role of technology in your business?
Oh, it's everything. I hate it. I hate everything to do with technology, but if it can be automated, it's automated. You know, one of the first hires I did was I brought in an automation specialist, and literally every moving part in a company, that's all we do is we try and figure out, can we automate this? There's some things that will never be automated. You know, a lot of sales portions of it, we don't automate a lot of the sales stuff, but everything else, if it can have some sort of tech or automation put on it, and we're really good about going out front and finding new tech and trying to bring it into the company. And then in, you know, some of the tech that we go find, we'll go after our, you know, one big vendor, which is Entreport, which runs all of our automation stuff, and push them like hell to add these features to their software so we can keep it all on one software platform. But it's a ridiculous role.
So speaking of automation and tech, are you using artificial intelligence right now in your business?
So we're, of course, using ChatGPT. We've just installed a customer service messaging chat. With that messaging chat, you get two questions, then you're straight to a person, because I freaking hate those things. So we get straight to a person as fast as possible. We use a lot of strategy using GPT-4. So we'll use it to analyze some of the marketing movements and things we play. One of the things I'm fascinated right now is the ability for like ChatGPT go out and read links. So we use that a ton. We'll analyze competitors. We're going to analyze marketing campaigns. We're going to analyze blogs sometimes and how they're written. And it'll really break down some very, very cool things. We're getting ready to move into the VR AR space as well. So we're opening up one of our peer groups in the metaverse. We're opening up it's not the metaverse. I'm not great on it, but there's a whole nother VR world that we're getting into, Omniverse. So we're getting into the Omniverse and we're building a storefront in there. So we're really trying to stay fast forward. And, you know, dude, I'm a blue collar dude. And so this technology is so far over my head, but I know if we're not playing with it, we're going to be left behind.
What's the biggest challenge you are facing right now in your business?
Brand awareness. I think that's most companies' problems. You know, it's a guy like Gary Vee says it best, man, you're fighting for attention. And so it's, what's the consistent message? Where do you need to put the message out? You know, like simple things like TikTok is the funniest platform in the world for me, but right now it's my fastest growing freaking platform. And I'm not doing stupid dances. I'm just talking about business. And it's amazing because I scroll TikTok, right? And at no point scrolling TikTok do I want to hear a business thing going, right? I don't want to be entertained. That's usually like an escape pattern, right? But for some reason, the business content is hitting really, really well. And we're adding 100 to 200 followers a day or a week, depending on when it's happening, off of freaking business content on TikTok. So, but brand awareness by far is the biggest struggle.
So in terms of like, you know, TikTok or social media, like, do you see conversions from those platforms as well?
TikTok, not yet, because we're playing a some volume game. You know, I have a guess that TikTok's going to matter for us once we start getting over 10,000 followers. And we're just creeping up on 5,000 now. So I think in my mind, that makes the most sense. On LinkedIn, on the other hand, converts like crazy. You know, we've got a very dialed in LinkedIn strategy that I self-deploy every day. And it freaking works like gangbusters. And, you know, this year alone, since we took LinkedIn serious, I mean, I've added 8,000 followers this year just by putting out a consistent content, consistent message, consistent connecting, and really getting dialed in on that platform.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, what does consistency look like for you on LinkedIn, like, to be successful?
Well, get ready for a class because your people are going to want to take notes because I take it very, very seriously. So for LinkedIn, here's the actual rhythm that I do every day. I will go to LinkedIn and I have I have 30 different people whose profiles that I follow. So if you go to somebody's LinkedIn profile, you go down to their activity, you click on post, and what it's going to pull up, it's going to pull up that individual person's latest post. Okay. You copy that URL to that page and you put that in a Google Doc. Now that link, every morning I can click on that link and it goes straight to that person's latest post. Okay. So follow that logic. So I have 10 people that are just astronomical rock stars. So Adam Grant, freaking Alex Hormozi, Gary Vee, you know, the freaking rock stars, right? Then I have 10 people that are just a little bit further down the line than me, right? They're doing things that I want to be doing. They're crushing it, but they're not like your rock star names. And then I got about 10 people that are my level. So it gives me 30 people to freaking follow. Okay. So every morning it takes me about 10 minutes. I can click on all those links and I can drop one comment, if it makes sense, if they posted that day, on each one of those posts. Okay. For me, that juices the algorithm and says, hey, I'm active. Then I will go do a long form original content, original thought post. An original thought is I'm literally teaching shit that I have actually learned. What most people do is they regurgitate something else somebody said. So if like Alex Hormozi or Gary Vee puts out a post, give it 5 minutes and half the world is posting the same shit they just posted, right? That's not original thought. Original thought would be Alex Hormozi says, go do this. You go try it. And the way he explained it doesn't necessarily work, but you figure out how to get it to work for you. You tinker with it. You mess with it. You're like, ooh, this is how it'll work for me. Now go teach that. And that's original thought, because you took something that somebody else said and figured out how to break it down and work for you. And there's a lot of things people do in life that they can teach because it's just stuff that they've learned. We all have this thing, something that comes simple to us. Like I put a post out today on how to work a room. And, you know, the DMs I got off of that was silly to me, because it makes just logical sense that if you walk into a networking event, you go rescue the fucking wallflower. You're like, dude, get off the wall. Let's go network. Let's go meet some people. And then you do that a couple of times a night and you'll build some amazing, you know, relationships, and you'll get some cool clientele out of it. But so I will, you know, that's the post I put out this morning. As soon as I post that post, I will then go spend 10 minutes looking for other stuff to comment on, right? So I'm total 30 minutes in now to do this in LinkedIn. Then 2 hours later, I will come back to the post and write a PS comment, which is usually a bonus tip, bonus, you know, knowledge or anything else. And then 4 hours from that, I'll come back and I'll repost that particular post. All the while, I'm doing 20 to 100 connections a day to people that are either rock stars that are freaking crushing it just slightly ahead of me, or people that I'm trying to freaking partner up and go. And this is every day, no miss.
Even weekends.
At weekends, I will be honest, I do dial it back some. I usually still will post, but the engagement side of me is I'm not as heavy on the weekend.
So if you made some cool connections, like if Gary Vee or Hormozi or people like that noticed you?
I've talked to some people, not at that level. I've been in some cool rooms most of the big successful people that I've actually had the pleasure of being around, you wouldn't recognize their name because they're not out trying to build a personal brand, like those guys are. And Hormozi, you know, he fascinates me the most out of the bunch, because Hormozi was successful before he became an influencer. Right. So he earned his teeth and everything. Like Gary Vee, all those other guys, they became successful because of being an influencer.
Right.
Alex made his freaking money. And then he, if you go listen to his stuff, he saw, Kylie Jenner, I think, you know, do a $1 billion deal. And he's like, all right, what the hell am I missing here? You know, and that's when he started. And if you guys didn't just see his latest book launch, that is an absolute masterclass on how to do marketing for anything. That whole book launch had one point: to sell his next freaking book. It is the most brilliant move. He moved millions of people to get this book. Also, he could market his next book coming. It's insane the way he thinks.
100%. Yeah. He's in a whole different level.
Oh, ridiculous. Ridiculous.
So in terms of, you know, your business right now, what do you think is your top priority in the next 3 to 6 months?
So systems, process, and then scale. So for us, if it's not written down, it's not a thing inside of a company. Like, so if it's not documented, like if I have something that say, hey, we do it this way and it stays in my head, nobody else can do it. And if nobody else can do it, you'll just create a really shitty job for yourself. Okay. So for me, it has to be documented and write it down. So we came up with a silly acronym that we use in the company to develop all of our processes. That acronym is called ADD, which is funny. I have ADHD, so it works really well. But it stands for Action, Document, Delegate. So what has to happen is for us to figure out anything is you got to go do the thing, whatever that thing is. And as you're doing it, then you got to document it. Once you document the steps and the processes you went through, you've got to then give it to somebody else to see if they can duplicate the outcome. right? Once that second person gets that process, they will go through it. But what's going to happen is they're going to take whatever you documented and they're going to tweak it so it works and fits for them. It becomes a process when the second person touches it and can duplicate and get the results that you got the first go around, right? And then that becomes a process we give to everybody else. So for us, it's continuing to look at all the process and systems, and we look through the lens of, okay, how far will this process, this system get us? And once we figured out that it'll get us here, we go, okay, cool. Now, how do we scale this process? Right? How do we get it so not just one person can do it, hundreds of people can do it? Because for me, the definition of scaling, if you will, is growth is what most people do. They do the 10, 20% growth year over year. Scaling is like going from like, you know, $1 million to $100 million, and there's no increase in staff. There's no increase in, you know, cost overall. You've just expanded and really blown up, done the hockey stick. So that's our main focuses.
Right. So what's the biggest piece of advice you wish you knew before you started your career?
That life is an experiment. So, and I'll explain this. People talk all the time about fear of failure, and I don't want to fail. Things got to be perfect, all that stupid shit, right? It drives me nuts. Here's the thing. Life is simply an experiment. If life is an experiment, there is no such thing as failure. You just figured out a way that would not work. So what you do is you take the way you didn't work, you analyze what didn't work in that thing, you readjust, you recalibrate, and you go again, and you try it a different way. You experiment a different way. I was so nervous about looking a fool, and I wouldn't put myself out there in an early stage of the business because I'm like, well, what if somebody like, guys, I didn't think anybody would do business with a blue-collar dude that talks like I talk, wears a ball cap, you know, cusses up a damn storm. I didn't think anybody wanted to do business with it because I spent 20 years in corporate America. So, and it wasn't until the idea of there's no failure, it's all an experiment. Everything started flowing and it allowed me to show up as me. And my favorite DM in the world that I get is, Donnie, thanks for being you, because you gave me permission to show up as me.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I mean, yeah, 100%. I think it's like people have this perception also. And I think that's like the beauty of technology and the internet. It's like you're around certain people and you think that you have to do things in one certain way. But when you see, to your point, like on LinkedIn or other platform, people doing cool stuff, you're like, okay, I can do that too.
Yeah. I think people look at a lot of successful people in the wrong way. And I was 100% guilty of this, right? I would look at other successful people and go, well, damn it, I've got a message. I've got a vibe. You know, I know how to talk to people. Why the hell am I not there? You know, I'd go see people speak on stage. I'm like, God, I'm way better than this guy. Why am I not up here? How'd this idiot get up there? You know, and I would have these thoughts all the time. And that type of thinking is such small thinking. And it actually is really detrimental to your personal growth. What you need to start doing, and what I had to start doing, is going, God, that's freaking awesome. How hard did that dude work to get that freaking stage? What is it that he did that I'm not doing that's going to get me on that stage? And when you started changing that dialogue in my own head, the whole dynamic started to shift, and I wasn't getting that imposter syndrome. I was getting into a learning state of mind that goes, all right, let's go figure this shit out. And the cool thing about doing that is I don't give a damn what anybody in this world is doing. You can go figure it out. Like if you are not geeking out on YouTube how to, you know, you're missing out on a master class of doing anything, because there's nothing in this day and age. Like literally my washing machine went out the other day, and should I have called a handyman to come in and fix the damn thing? Probably. But I just went to YouTube and said, what's wrong with the damn washing machine? You know, found a couple of parts, ordered the parts, put them in, the freaking thing worked, you know. And that's how everything in life should be. So if somebody's doing something that's amazing that you want to be doing, you got two choices. Go pay that person to teach you how to do it, or go YouTube, you know, university and figure it out for your damn self. But here's the trick. Either way, you're going to have to go work your ass off And this is where all the people are like, oh, he's the hustle and grind guys come at me. No. It's fucking hard work to build a business. Let's just put it on the table. It's a lot of damn work. You're going to have to work hard to make the business actually work. So, you know, go figure out what they're doing, figure out the steps they did, then just do the damn steps. Do the steps even better than they are. Do the steps louder than they are, and, you know, be a hell of a lot more courageous than they were, and watch what happens on the back end of it.
That's awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you and to find your business, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Yeah. So if they will text the word, before I do that, hey guys, if you hung out with us this long and you've got any tips, any tricks, any value out of this episode, do Dan and these guys a favor and share this episode with one person. Having my own podcast, man, I can tell you the hardest thing in the world to do is to grow an audience. So if you'll share this out, and even better, if you'll take a screenshot wherever you're listening or watching this and tag us in. If you tag me in, I promise you, I will jump in and come comment on it as long as I see the tag, right? It'll mean everything to these guys. So whether it's this episode or any other episode they've done, it'll mean the world to them. If you want to get in touch with me, text the word success to 817-318-6030. So text the word success to 817-318-6030. I'll send you some free videos, and then you'll get a slow drip email campaign of talking about our summit. You'll get all my social media profiles, links to my books, and all the things we do. Nothing that we're trying to freaking pitch or sell in there. It's just the easiest way to get the information.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, Dan, it was a pleasure, and thank you for your time.
My honor, gents. Well done, and keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Thanks. All right. Bye.